If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop. Relics Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relics.com. The show starts now. You've been listening to Second Sight off the forthcoming record Color Wheel from Aqueous. It's actually their first full-length album since 2014 Cycles, and though the band has released a few EPs, live compilations, and regularly releases their live shows, we haven't had new studio music from them in quite some time. Actually, the album is being released in waves with 3 tracks a week until we get to 10. We recently caught up with Mike and Dave to talk about Color Wheel, touring, and much more. Our conversation started when I asked Dave why it took so long to make a new record.
Well, yeah, you are correct. That is, yeah, it's the first full length. We went through a little bit of a lineup change in that time. We brought on Rob, who has been the most perfect fit and been an amazing person to add into the mix. So when he did join, we did release Best in Show, which was just an EP. As you kind of noted, so that was just 4 tracks. And then, yeah, once he got into kind of the groove of the band and, you know, things were moving along again, it was time to put out that full-length album and get everybody involved, and wanted to make sure we did it right, wanted to make sure we had the songs just the way we wanted and do it the good way.
Mike, for a band who does so much on the road and so much improvising, is it difficult for you to take ideas to the other two guys, or for the other two guys to bring you ideas when the three of you are working together, to put together, and you know, 7 minutes, some of these tracks are like 6.5, 7 minutes long, so I won't say compact, but shorter songs than what we're used to seeing you guys do on the road and live in a studio setting. Is it a different experience for you guys to tightly wrap some of these songs down?
Yeah, I mean I wouldn't call it difficult. I think different is exactly the right word for that, because it's almost like having a completely different mindset that you go into. You know, I mean, when we're in the studio, the purpose is to just create the best song and the best sonic production that we can. And that has like very little to do with improvising. And I feel grateful that we have both outlets, because I find both of them equally rewarding for different reasons, you know. And this time around, the interesting thing was is that the majority of these songs that are on this record were never even played live, so we didn't have to walk backwards like we normally do. You know, sometimes we'll have played a song for a year or two live and have to pare it down, you know, and figure out, okay, what's the purpose of this song? You know, what should we keep? What should we subtract? And how do we make it its own unique studio piece? But there was very little of that this time around, because we, you know, had been saving, you know, writing songs as we went along and saving songs. And it was a really gratifying experience to get to just write for the studio.
Is it a matter of Mike writing this stuff, or are you guys collaborating all the time when you write new material for a record?
Yeah, it's really collaborative for us. I mean, typically, you know, someone will send, you know, a demo over of just like, you know, a pretty primitive version of a song, you know, or maybe it only has 2 parts, and we'll say, you know, what should we do with this? Or, you know, I'll take a piece to Evan and say, you know, like, do you have a section for this? Or, you know, we tend to bounce a lot of ideas off of each other and communicate as openly as we can and try to be a band as much as we can in its truest sense, where everybody's, you know, input is considered and integrated. So we do what we do, you know, definitely do our best to keep it very collaborative.
David, is it when you're collaborating, is it difficult for you to think about exactly what you're going to be doing on stage in terms of having these songs come to life?
Yeah, I mean, since I do a lot of, you know, guitar work and keyboard work, especially live, it's kind of split 50-50 depending on, you know, what set list we have for any given night. But as far as we were talking about Color Wheel for a minute, as far as the studio was concerned, I was just trying to just make sure everything fit in the best way possible. Like I wasn't really trying to think about, oh, like what I'll have to do live. I was just like, all right, well, this needs piano from start to finish, but it also needs little spots of guitar here and there. So just whatever, like the song itself needed was kind of the top priority for that stuff. And then now that we're going to be working it into live, kind of going back and being like, okay, well, where can I jump in and out? Like, what parts are the more crucial parts? Like, okay, we definitely need like this guitar harmony here, so I'll have to obviously hop off keys for a minute. And then you know, hop back and forth. It's never really been too much of a struggle, I would say. It's like a fun challenge to sometimes work it into the live show. But really, it's just whatever serves the song and or serves the purpose of what we're trying to do.
You guys, at least in your press release, have described Color Wheel as a concept record. And having only heard three songs of the record thus far, I'm curious about the concept and how these songs kind of all fit together.
Yeah, I feel like for me, the general concept is kind of an arc of optimism through maybe a darker period, you know, in a general sense, or maybe it could be applied to somebody's, you know, direct life. But, you know, I want to leave it, you know, ambiguous enough where people can take away their own thing from it. But I'd say, generally speaking, it's like this idea of trying to figure out how, you know, through a difficult time or through darkness to like push through and find like those silver linings, you know, regardless of the circumstance.
Each of the songs, though, on their own, continue to have that aqueous sound to them in terms of, you know, lots of instrumentation, lots of parts, lots of complicated parts, and they continue to sort of be in that, I want to say progressive, but that's not really fair, but, you know, distinct parts to a song that, you know, ebb and flow. Are you always thinking about writing songs in that way? Are we ever going to have an aqueous song that, you know, sort of is, you know, one theme throughout the entire piece?
Like, once people hear the next three songs, you'll have your answer to that question.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
So let's talk about this idea of releasing three songs at a time, and I assume at the end the entire thing will sort of be released. What made you decide to release music in this way?
I think we wanted people to be able to digest, you know, the album in smaller pieces or waves, as we're calling them, because, you know, a lot of the time when you have like a whole album, which in this, you know, whole 10 tracks or whatever, sometimes that's a lot to take in all at once. And sometimes maybe a song or two will get kind of lost in the shuffle, or it'll be overshadowed by one or two of the other bigger tracks. So we kind of wanted everyone to make sure that they heard everything. And because we felt really good about every track that we recorded, there's certain ones that stand out to us, but we felt that the album as a whole and each track had a purpose, and we felt very confident in it. So we wanted everybody to take the time to listen to each of those individual songs and really dive into it that way.
You've been playing some of these songs on the road, though, right? Second Sight and Weight of the Word have already been played in a live setting. How has your crowd, the audience taken to them?
Yeah, I mean, both of those songs have gone over very well live, and they're ones that we definitely add into the set list relatively frequently. And, you know, like I said, they go over well, and we enjoy playing them. But and for the studio, Weight of the Word both of those tracks really have some studio, you know, maybe flair that we added to them. So they'll be slightly different than maybe what people are used to hearing live from those tracks.
Yeah, and just to add on to that concept about, you know, asking how they were received, I think both of those songs became springboards for improvisation too in different ways, and there's like some really unique versions of both of those songs out there. And I think what happened was is that, you know, during that earlier transition period where, you know, Rob was coming into the band, and, you know, there was a lot of shakeup, and we were all hungry, like really hungry to play new material. And so I think we became very inspired with, you know, just even those two songs, like integrating two newer songs in the past year or so. And so we, like, you know, the improvisation became a little bit more inspired, I think, just naturally, which makes me very excited for the rest of these songs, because I think that same, you know, logic will apply, you know, seven times over, though, with seven new songs. And we've actually been writing new ones in between as well. They aren't even on the album.
The turquoise, you're not bringing the turquoise horns on the road with you every time you play Weight of the Word. How did you, although that would be cool, how did you get them? You obviously recorded them separately, right? You didn't bring them up. up to the studio, did you?
Yeah, no, we didn't. We didn't bring them up. And you know, the turquoise, that turquoise, like that whole band is, you know, really good friends of ours, and they're like some of the best people in the industry to work with, and they're super professional, but also very cool humans. But you know, I mean, that's kind of the awesome thing about living in 2018, in terms of recording, at least, is that, you know, we can send them, you know, a track, and they can be in New York City and you know, record it and send it to me, and then we can edit it ourselves. And, you know, it's like kind of amazing. You can collaborate from across the United States like that so easily.
You guys are on the road, as you almost always are. And Mike, you have a bit of a change in your life, so that will be a little bit interesting, being on the road and being wed since last we spoke. So congratulations on that.
Thanks.
You are crisscrossing across the country, going as far west, I guess, as Colorado, and playing with some great people. Are there particular parts of this tour, aside from bringing this new music to people, that you're excited about, or people that you're excited to play with? What are you most excited about this tour that starts soon?
I definitely think so. There we have you know, a show with Mo coming up the 7th of this month, so that's tomorrow. And then we've got two gigs with Humphreys McGee, which we're really excited about, in October. And then beyond that, I mean, we have some really, really great support for this this tour. Our friends Munyon are going to be on for a good amount of the tour, which we're pumped about. And we got support from the Heavy Pets as well. So I think, the moment Humphreys and the great support, and just being able to, we're going all the way down to Florida and out west, like you said, as far as Colorado, and a lot of spaces in between. So all of that is what we're looking forward to. It should be all great stuff. And obviously also going off of releasing this new album. So there'll be a lot of those songs to play, which is nice to put some new material.
It's an interesting time for you guys, because you sort of are in that transition period of supporting other acts like Mo and Humphreys, who you grew up listening to and loving, and certainly Mo being from, you know, this part of the United States where you're from, you're very familiar with their music. But then you are getting support on this tour from bands like the Heavy Pets and Goose, who are, you know, a couple years sort of behind you in terms of their growth as bands. So that's a kind of interesting spot to be in. Are you still in a place where you're constantly asking the guys in Humphreys and Mo for advice, or are you pretty confident now in terms of where you're at as a band, as opposed to where you may have been, you know, 2 or 3 years ago?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like there's really never a time where you should stop learning. You know what I mean? I feel like when we do these tours, whether, you know, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, of course, bigger bands like Humphreys and Mo, just even being around their operation, you just learn, you know, you inherently learn so much. And it's amazing to see some of these, you know, teams that they've assembled work so effectively, and you just learn so much. And then, of course, like, the more we get to know the guys, you just, you know, it becomes more organic conversations, you know, just maybe as friends would have or peers would have, you know, and you learn a lot through that medium. But I think also there's a lot to be said, like, you know, about all the bands that we've played, you know, that are supporting us on this tour, like you said, Goose and Munyon and Heavy Pets. Like, there's so much just in the conversations you'll have on the road with those guys that you might learn, you know, of a way that they do something that, you know, that we could maybe improve on. And I think that's always been our mindset for our music and for our operation, is always trying to improve, you know, some facet of it any way we can. And we're so open to wherever that, you know, goodness might come from, or that advice might come from. And I think that that's kind of the beauty of this particular music scene, is everybody's so open with each other, and everybody can, you know, you can ask those questions to some of these bigger guys, or have conversations with some of your peers, or whatever. And 99% of the time, it's really well received and very helpful, and can kind of, you know, show your path a little bit clearer, or help you understand where you're going a little bit better.
What do you impart? I mean, do you specifically tell people like Goose or do you let them come to you with when Pete has a question or when you think Pete's not doing something, do you say something to Pete or do you let them come to you with questions like the younger set?
I think it kind of just depends on the circumstance and the type of relationship that you have, you know, and how close you are. I think a lot of it just comes down to respect, and I think there's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, I guess it kind of would be contextual, you know, depending on what, you know, maybe the thing was. But I think it's all about like love and respect, and if something is off, you know, or whatever, or there's something that I want to learn or know, I think it's all about whatever the problem is or good thing is, it's all about approaching it with kindness first. You know, and positivity and affirmation and all that good stuff, you know, instead of like being a huge jerk about it, you know, or whatever the scenario might be. So yeah, I think it kind of just comes down to the context of it.
Do you anticipate a lot of set sit-ins? I mean, you're no stranger to sit-ins on other people's sets. Do you anticipate sharing the stage with either these people that you're opening for the people that are opening for you coming up? Those are always great, by the way. It's really great.
Yeah, I think it's pretty darn likely. I think you spend enough time, you know, on the road with a band and, you know, there's just so much like downtime that you spend together, like just in the, you know, in the green room, just hanging. And, you know, it's, a lot of times that equates to us like playing together back there. Like I know like Justin from Munyon, I've been getting very close with, and, you know, he's such a proficient player, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Dave and I with Aqueous both spent enough time, you know, like trying, we're always trying to improve and learn stuff, but you know, we all, Aqueous as a whole learns music by ear, you know, so we don't have any formal training, and being around somebody like Justin, who has had formal training and can read and, you know, is like just so ultra musical and ultra capable. You know, I feel like I'm always really inspired having, you know, someone like that around. And we love to play together. You know what I mean? I feel like there's certain players that I've, you know, been able to share the stage with over the years that you walk away like having learned something in an indirect way. Like, you know, sometimes just trading licks with a different musician will bring out like a whole new side of you that you didn't even know existed. Cause it's kind of like talking to a new person. You know, you talk to somebody for a few hours and you think you've said everything there is to say. And then you talk to a new human, in the next breath and it's a whole new perspective, you know, and you're having a whole new conversation. And I think music is exactly the same way. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, that's a roundabout way of me saying, absolutely, there'll be sit-ins.
So there's an uneven, there's 10 tracks on the record. You're releasing three at a time. And I guess In It For Me has to wait till the end, right?
That is correct. You'll have to wait.
Great. Thanks so much for taking the time, guys. Really enjoy what I hear and really enjoy keeping an eye on you guys. And sorry that nobody could get the power right for you in Toronto when you were here last.
It was wild, man. Yeah, no problem. It's going to happen sometime.
But luckily you had those lightsabers, so that was good. Good thing it was May the 4th, because otherwise, what would you... Puppet show? Did you have a puppet show prepared, or...?
Yeah, we didn't have anything else planned, so, I mean, Star Wars was.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Right. Thanks, man.
And there you have it. Great guys who are always available to chat about the music they make. We're excited to hear more from Color Wheel and catch them live on the road during their fall tour. For more on Aqueous, visit aqueousband.com. You should also check out the podcast All In With Aqueous from our Osiris Pod pal, Mike Mimo Menio. As we leave you, have a listen to the second track off of Color Wheel. Here is How High You Fly.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.